Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Welcome to the Valeura Holding AG Full Year Results 2013 and publication of the Annual Report 2013 conference call. I am Goran, the conference call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Michael Müller, CEO, and Mr. Tobias Knechtle, CFO of Valeura Holding AG. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to present our annual results 2013 to you this afternoon. I have here with me Tobias Knechtle, our new CFO. I'm very excited that he's here and he will talk you through the key figures. I assume all of you have our presentation, which is available online in front of you. So we will talk you quickly through the highlights and then leave enough room for questions afterwards. I will start now with, in the presentation on page number 4, directly with the highlights. We published this morning on page number 5 our key financial metrics, which show a very clear progress in 2013. We increased our EBITDA by 26% on an EBIT level, plus 36%. We are also extremely pleased to report an increase of our free cash flow of more than 100% to 86 million, which as a result of that, plus as a result of the refinancing activities, which we completed in 2013, leads to a significantly low leverage ratio of currently 1.6 times net debt EBITDA. On the next page, you see the operational improvements, the sources of these improvements. It's a combination of full year consolidation effects from Ditch Bretzel Koenig, but also the growth that we achieved in that segment contributed significantly to the result. We managed to improve the margins mainly in retail Switzerland through our refurbishments of the store, the focus on food, beverage, and the service side of our business. And last but not least, we managed in the service division to maintain the profitability from previous year's level, which is given the ongoing market deterioration in the print media market, quite an achievement, which is mainly a result of a combination of a very diligent cost management and, on the other hand, a increase of our third-party logistic activity in that segment. The trade division actually is also remains on a low level in terms of profitability, but we see on a comparable basis also first small improvements in that division, but definitely additional measures will be needed to increase the profitability. The biggest contribution that the trade division has made this year is by allocating the capital much more effectively, which can be seen in a significant improvement in our net working capital on the later pages. In general, the business activities in Germany, where we acquired Convenience Concept in April 2012, are still very much influenced by the ongoing integration of the business. The integration of, from an organizational and financial standpoint is completed. However, in terms of changing the business model, adjusting our operations to our strategy that we also implement in Switzerland to increase the share of food and to refurbish the store, we're slightly behind schedule in that segment, which had a small negative impact on our overall results. However, on a comparable basis, what you see on the left-hand side of the chart, we managed to increase our EBIT by 44% in 2013. This has two additional highlights on the following two pages. You see that, as I mentioned, we managed to decrease our net working capital significantly by 24%. And this resulted, which you can see on page 8, among other things, including the positive earnings development, in a quite substantial increase of our free cash flow per share of 74% to a level of 25.25 Swiss francs per share, which is significantly above previous year's level. And also the free cash flow margin with 3% currently is reflects that positive development. I will hand over now to Tobias Knechtle, who joined the company on March 1st. I'm extremely delighted to have you here in the room today, and he will talk you through the key financial data now for the Valora Group in 2013.
Thank you, Michael. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to lead you through the financial part. We'll start immediately on page 10. With the financial highlights of the P&L. I will not lead you through all the numbers detail, but only pick out the main points I want to make on the various pages, as I assume you have read through most of that. If you look at page 10, the P&L, the point to mention, of course, is that it's been highly impacted by the full year effect of the acquisition convenience concept in Germany, and Ditch Brezelkönig, which we acquired on the 1st of October 2012. Second point to highlight here, which obviously you will have noticed, there's a big difference between the external sales and the net revenue. That is highly driven by the mix between own shops and franchises. And as a result, the net revenues for us as a measure standalone is of less relevance. Going further to the gross profit and gross profit margin, we see an increase of the gross profit margin by a substantial amount, which is also due to the consolidation, especially of Ditch Brezelkönig, but as well as we'll see later on, driven by our adjustment in the mix, especially in Switzerland, which could overcompensate or at least compensate the decline in press. Finally, on the net operating cost, the point to mention here, you see an increase of 8.8% if we look at it net of acquisition and the one-off effects, especially the IAS 19 effect of last year. We can say that the net operating costs are on the same level than last year. I'm moving on to page 11. Which is definitely one of the highlights of our presentation and of the results of last year, the strong cash flow generation we have shown in 2013. Of course, it has been driven by the EBITDA, which has an increase of 26%, but is mainly driven also by, driven by the focus on the net working capital and a slight reduction, or quite a reduction on the capex side. I'll come back to these two points on the next two slides. All in all, thanks to these measures and the strong EBITDA, we have a very strong free cash flow of 85.5 million, which is a doubling compared to the previous year. Already moving on to page 12. Here is one of the two effects I mentioned before on the free cash flow. The point to see is that, as we'll see a bit later on, the two small areas, services and trade, are only responsible for a very small part of our EBIT. However, in 2012, they were binding 61% of our capital. In 2013, we managed to reduce that to 50%. Which led to a decrease of 24% and 32 million year on year. We, however, are planning still further measures. We won't rest on the levels achieved here, especially in trade with an improvement of the contract terms concerning the inventory levels, the cycles of replenishment, but also on all the other areas through process improvements of all kinds that were already initiated. Moving on to page 13, the CapEx. you see a reduction of 18% from 69 million to 56 million. The point to mention here is that despite that reduction, we're still fully on course with the plan that was presented to you early on, with a 200 million investment over a three-year period. So we don't have a delay in the rollout of our investments. However, we've been much more focused in the investments that we have made last year, and have been strongly looking as well on the capital effect and the return on the capital employed, and therefore you see a reduction compared to the level we had last year. Moving on to page 14, and that's the introduction page to a deep dive, financial deep dive on each of the divisions. The point that strikes out here is that the sum of retail and Ditch Bretelkönig accounts for 82% of our EBIT, and I'm talking about the adjusted operating EBIT. So we have adjusted it for one-offs in 2012 and 13, and especially as well for the IAS 19 effect that, as you all know, has been very strong in 2013. Retail has been stable on 34 million. We'll come back to that in more detail. Last year, 2012, has been strongly impacted by the loss, the paper loss on the sale of our head office in Muttenz, and on a like-for-like basis, however, retail has been stable. Again, I'll comment all the various divisions on the next pages. The last point to mention on that page is that starting from 50 million adjusted operating profit in 2012, we managed to achieve an increase of 44% to roughly 73 million in 2013. Now, let's start with a rapid look at the various divisions, starting on page 15 with Valor Retail. What you mostly see is the full year effect of the convenience concept acquisition, but also of the modernization of our network of kiosks in Switzerland, which were able to compensate the decline in press. This effect, the modernization of the network and the change in mix, has also led to an increase of 0.5 percentage points of the margin to 37%. And as a result of that, the EBIT is at 38% with a 99.7% increase over last year. But as mentioned already on the previous page, that increase is due to the loss the accounting loss we realized in 2012. If we look a bit more into detail on how the turnover is made on page 16, you have on the left-hand side the external sales, and on the right-hand side, the net revenues split by divisions. Not a lot I want to mention on that page. I think it's self-explanatory. The point I would like to highlight, though, that in Switzerland we managed to fully compensate the decline in press with adjustments in our mix and also changes in formats. In Germany, you've got the full year effect of the acquisition of convenience concept. And Austria, albeit small, still had a very positive organic growth of almost 5%. On the net revenues, kiosk in itself could not fully compensate the decline in press, but this figure also includes some changes in formats into AVEX and Press and Books. And therefore, you have part of the 17.3% increase you have at AVEC is due to these changes in mix, but also due to a genuine increase in organic growth. Spectacular, again, ending with a smallest one, a small figure per se, but a very nice organic growth, and what is very important, with a very nice profit. Moving on to page 17 and Ditch Bretelkönig. As already mentioned, acquired on the 1st of October 2012. again, I think this page is self-explanatory. The only point I would like to mention is that the EBIT margin of 13.3% includes some transfers of the group. So Digi-Brezel-König is also, with that figure, carrying some of the corporate overhead. Moving on to page 18 and services. If we normalize services for the divestitures in Austria and in Switzerland in both years, especially 2012, but also slightly in 2013, you can see that decline from 12 to 13 is a mere 10 million. That means also that thanks to the initiatives we launched with third-party logistics, we managed to almost fully compensate, and in Switzerland, actually, we did fully compensate the decline in press, which also led that to the gross margin, which actually is high and overcompensated the decline in the press by a fair amount. The and I think that's all what I want to mention on that page. Moving on to page 19 and the trade division. Trade, as you can see, really needs to be looked at in detail by region, by type of product. Overall highlight is definitely the increase of 10% with the traditional business in the Nordics. And the new category is growing there by still roughly 1%. Germany and Austria with a strong decline, which is due to the already and previously announced restructuring of our portfolio and the stopping of non-attractive contracts to us, but as well and led or linked with that a change in management and the start of a new management on a cleaner basis. Finally, additional cost measures have led to a increasing EBITDA, which has been offset by higher depreciation, which is due to a new and highly needed new IT solutions that we implemented and were started to be depreciated in 2013. I would like to end with page 20 and the highlights of the balance sheets. I think the most of the figures are self-explanatory or have been explained on the previous pages, like net working capital. The point I would like to highlight is that liquidity increased by almost 19% to 175 million, which gives us an increased flexibility on various aspects. The equity cover has increased to 45%, which is an increase of 8.9 percentage points, which is also due to the financing measures we've done in 13, which is the hybrid bond over 120 million and the syndicated loan over 150 million euros. Both measures have allowed us to partly refinance the Digi-Brezel-König credit, which we've taken on at the moment of the acquisition. And with these instruments, we're now well diversified by instrument, by refinancing date, and also on the investor basis, and on top of all that, I would say also to very attractive conditions. On that positive note, I'll hand over again to Michael.
Thank you very much, Tobias. I would like to talk you through now quickly our divisions and the group as a, in terms of a strategic update on page 22. What you can see, we already discussed last year, we will increasingly focus on our core activities with the Swiss, German, Luxembourg, Austrian retail business with the various formats, the kiosks and the convenience stores with AVEC and the P&Bs and Spectacolo, and on the other hand, the Digi-Brezel-König business. That segment covers already 80% or accounts for 80% of our EBITDA across the group. So the group is already very much focused on our core activities with small format retail stores in high frequency locations. I come to service and trade on the following pages in terms of an update and the strategic outlook. On page 23, we summarized briefly the activities around the four divisions. You can see here we had a very dynamic development across all the divisions. Mostly within retail, we've been focusing on the refurbishment of the stores, increasing the share of food. Ditch Bretzelkönig, we have realized a growth both on like-for-like basis, but also on a store level, which is highly satisfactory. We have in services, we announced already mid-year last year that we plan to hand over the control of that division to a partner in 2014, and we're well on track on that dimension. And in trade, key objective last year was definitely to increase profitability, and ultimately we started with a repositioning of a significant part of our business. I come to that in detail on a later page. On page 24, these are figures that we show for the first time in that level of detail. You actually see on a combined retail and Ditch Bretzelkönig our cross profit contribution. First of all, in terms of cluster of our store locations, as you can see, our strategy is to focus on high-frequency locations related to railway station, airports, or selectively also city center locations. Today, already 65% of our gross margin is generated with these type of stores. So we are already today very much focused on that, and we intend to further increase that share. And on the right-hand page, you see actually the breakdown into the segments in the different product segments. As you can see, already as of today, also very much driven, obviously, by the acquisition of Ditch Bretzelkönig, but also based on the initiatives in retail to increase the share in food, overall, our core business is already very much geared towards food, beverage, sales. We have roughly 50% of the gross margin that we generate with these products. The broadly discussed print media and press category accounts today on that basis only for 15% of our gross margin, and the tobacco for roughly 20%. The 15% services and what we call others, this is for us also a highly positive number in terms that this will be one of the areas where we will focus on in the years to come. We see a lot of opportunities to broaden our activities there. We had a highly successful launch of the OK prepaid MasterCard, for example, in 2013. We see opportunities to further increase the contribution from that and to the overall group. On page 25, we break out a couple of numbers focusing on the K-kiosk outlets in Switzerland. We refurbished 111 of these outlets last year, decreased the shelf space allocation to print media, increased the shelf that we allocate to food, so we put it bigger coolers in the outlets. In many of the outlets, we added coffee columns, so we broadened our offering in terms of the quality and number of different sandwiches that we offer. We introduced also selectively some of our products that we produce in our manufacturing plants at Ditch Bretzelkönig, and we added a hot beverage, so mostly coffee offering, which was highly successful. As a result of that, we see that rebuilt or refurbished stores are up by 6% on total net revenues, and specifically within food, we had an increase of 17%, which is a very positive development for us and confirms basically the strategy that we started to implement early last year. On page 26, also that data have not been broadly discussed in previous years. The Retail Germany overall network, as you can see, you have the incumbent P&B stores. This was the level we started mostly with before we acquired the convenience concept business. So we almost eightfolded our activities only by this acquisition. We broadened our network. We have a very high potential in order to refurbish these stores now. We are already to a significant extent present also in the convenience space with the DB service stores, and we started now to increase the share of the K kiosk by refurbishing the existing Seagull stores. However, I mean, as you can see on the right-hand side, we had some organizational challenges related to the integration this year. We slightly slowed down the process to focusing on doing the right things in terms of these refurbishments. We deal also here with the franchise network. So with dealing with the franchise network partner, some of the initiatives have been slightly slowed down. However, as we all are fully convinced that we have a very high potential in Germany, but this is not, as we say on the action title, not fully realized yet. On page 27, just a couple of details on the growth related to Ditch Brezelkönig. As I mentioned earlier, the Ditch Brezelkönig is relative to other retail formats, fast-growing format. With we realized the 7% sales growth. We broke out the figures in terms of outlet growth for Germany and Switzerland. Which is important to see is that we not only opened new outlets, but we also closed a couple of outlets. This is related to closures related to the full integration, where we expected that some of the outlets have to be closed and now are replaced by new outlets in terms of better locations, more attractive locations, which will help also to maintain, on one hand, the margin, but also have a high potential for a significant like-for-like growth, as we have seen in the other stores. On page 28, we refer to our wholesale and manufacturing business. It's important to understand the big opportunity in Ditch Brezelkönig is that we have a fully integrated business model, and that fully integrated business model, we run an ultra-modern production facility in Oranienbaum. We extended production capacity of that facility in 2013 by adding an additional production line. Just to give you some indication in terms of output in 2013, we have more than 400 million items produced in that manufacturing plant only. So this illustrates also we do not sell only these pretzels in our retail outlets, but we have a significant wholesale business, as you can see on the left-hand side of the page. Also, that part of the business has been performing extremely well. We are perceived in the market as a quality leader, and we, on that basis, we managed to increase not only the business in Germany, but also the exports, which go as far as North America, we managed to increase quite substantially. On page 29, Valora Services, I think I don't have to go into too much detail in terms of the business overall. The Valora Service division had a very strong year, strong in terms that they maintained more or less the profitability from the previous year. This is quite a success. In the light of the continuous deterioration in the print media market in Switzerland, but also in Luxembourg. The deterioration was slightly lower than what we anticipated, which helped us in terms of overall margin, because we managed the costs very diligently in that division. But ultimately, the most important event for 2014 will obviously be the handover of the control of that division to a partner, where we are fully on track and in process of the negotiations of the details. On page 30, Valora Trade, in terms of a brief update, what we have achieved last year, I think you have seen Tobias talk you through the impact on the net working capital. Valora Trade has been the area where we focused on most in terms of capital efficiency. We defined clear ROCE targets. 8% is our internal threshold that we defined on the capital cost side. You can see that a significant amount of our business is actually ROCE above 8%, so value accretive. However, we have also 30% in terms of capital employed, which is still related to businesses with ROCEs below 8%. These are the areas where you also saw in terms of the net revenues, deteriorating revenues in Germany, Switzerland, Austria, mostly. This is related to termination of selective contracts with brand owners and ultimately focusing on the business of the value accretive contracts. However, this repositioning is not completed. We will continue with that in 2014. The overall margin is still not satisfactory in that division, but we are optimistic that by continuing the initiated effort that we can improve overall profitability in 2014. In terms of guidance on the following two pages, 32 and 33, on page 33, the sources of the increase in EBIT and our EBIT growth. In retail, it's clearly we continue with the program that started very successful in 2013 in Switzerland. We will do the same in Germany. We will have still to complete the repositioning of the brand of the store network there, but we are optimistic that we can increase both sales, so the top line, and also the margin in that business by focusing on higher margin product segments. Ditch Pretzel Clinic, we are very confident about the growth that we guided also in previous years. We have a very strong pipeline in terms of new stores, both in Switzerland and Germany. Services, the defining event for 2014 will be the completion of the handover of that division to a new partner or owner. Trade, as I mentioned, we have further to streamline our portfolio, focusing only our activities on the most profitable ends of that business by increasing both margins and still maintaining a cost conscious culture and managing costs very tightly. And ultimately, in the back office, we also, given by the structural changes, by the focus on the core business, we will harmonize some of the back office processes and are optimistic that we are achieving their cost improvements, mostly related to IT, especially in the years 15 and 16, to a substantial extent. The main focus will remain return on capital, so we are very cautiously putting our capital to work and will focus further the group on a sustainable cash generation, sustainable in terms that at the same time we also invest quite heavily. As Tobias has said, we will maintain our guidance, this significant investment program of 200 million over 3 years, also for the years to come. On page 33, you see the details in terms of our guidance for 2014. 2014, important to understand that we anticipate additional one-off cost related to a certain extent to IAS 19 again. These are negative effects that we adjusted here. At the same time, we will further streamline our outlet portfolio in both Germany and Switzerland. Related to that, we will have extraordinary depreciations that will impact as a non-cash item a result this year. And ultimately, we have further initiatives in Valora Trade where we will have extraordinary costs related to that in 14, which will lead to a adjusted EBIT guidance of 75 to 78 million, which is an increase to 3 to 7 8% in 2014. On a reported basis, however, this is translated into a 66 to 70 million reported EBIT 2014. On the midterm guidance for 2016, we expect 100 to 105. This is reported now EBIT. We are very optimistic about realizing the potential in the retail network in Germany. We will see further organic growth at Deutsche Brezelkönig, and we will see in the years to come additional significant impact of the store renewals in Switzerland, where we only completed roughly one-third of the store refurbishment so far, and the significant amount of the stores of these 111 stores that have been refurbished in Q4, so they did not have so far a full year impact. In addition to that, we have this cost initiative mainly geared towards IT, which has a significant impact in 15 and 16. What's important to understand in our guidance, we have not built in any additional items that we have not currently already initiated. So this is a guidance on the basis of the existing business, and therefore we are very committed to the number that we put out now here as a midterm guidance, and confident that we can achieve this result. In terms of free cash flow, that's a new guidance we give related to the initiatives that Tobias also mentioned. We had an extremely positive free cash flow development this year. We also continue on that path, and we are optimistic that we will realize in average a free cash flow of more than 60 million per year. For the ones who have the English version in front of you, I think this bullet has not been perfectly translated into English from the German version. It says actually an increase of 60 million per year. On an 80 million basis, this will be quite optimistic. So I apologize for that. In summary, probably turning to page 35, as I said, we will further focus our business on small outlets. We will substantially increase the share, further increase the food, and but also the service products that will be offered at these locations. We will benefit further from our top locations that we control, both in Switzerland, Germany, but also Luxembourg and Austria. We are optimistic that we will complete the handover of the control and services trade business. As I explained, we will continue with the repositioning and the initiatives related to the increase of the profitability, and we will continue our focus on on free cash flow generation and an efficient allocation of our capital. In terms of the dividend policy on page 36, we continue with what we guided last year already. We confirm our net dividend or our gross dividend of 12.50 per share. We will pay out this dividend this year from capital contributions to Capital Reserve exclusively. So you have no deduction of withholding tax this year, which results in a net dividend of 12.50 compared to last year. This is an increase of 23%. This dividend level is also the floor in terms of the guidance. So the board of directors are committed to a dividend policy in line with what we guided last year, where the payout ratio should be around this 80%, which is reflected also on this year's dividend proposal to the AGM. And the 12.50 is the floor to further dividend payouts in the years to come. With that, I would actually hand over to you. We're open now to take your questions.
The first question is from Mr. Jean-François Maimandi from UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. I have three, actually. First one is more on the strategy, on your convenience concept in Germany. It seems that you're investing a lot now to refurbish. What differences do you see now between your German kiosk, your Swiss kiosk? How fast do you think you can catch up? And how much are you investing now in those kiosks? And how long is it going to last? When do you plan to finish this phase of refurbishment now? The second one is just to back up your cash flow figure. If you could help me think about your... Last year you had your 200 million guidance for CapEx for the 3 years, so it's still two to come. How should we distribute that between the 2 years? And of course, did very good job on net working capital. Do you have some room to further get something out of it, or do you think the levels there are sustainable? And the last one is more mechanical. Last year you gave 100 million EBIT guidance for 15. Should we think, given the investments that you're doing, that you're going to have a more linear between the roughly 80 million next year, just below 80 million next year, and 100, 105 in 16? Should we take just an average for 15, or is there any big thing to consider for 15 as a step up for the EBIT?
Thank you very much for your question. I think I take the first question and then hand over to Tobias. In terms of convenience concept, I mean, ultimately the benefits of the refurbishments in Germany are very similar to what we see in Switzerland. But you have to bear in mind that the starting point of these refurbishments is on a completely different level. A lot of these stores are far more geared towards tobacco and print media than our average stores in Switzerland. So the effort in Germany is probably not bigger, but more substantial, especially in the collaboration with our franchise partner, because you have to remember yourself that we have almost exclusively our store network operated to franchise partners in Germany. So we have to explain them what we do. We have to refurbish the store. In some situations, we have to replace franchise partners because the previous ones are not capable to run these stores. So this is one of the sources of the delay. Having said so, I mean, we have not underinvested in Germany this year. We opened a lot of stores. We had quite a substantial pipeline already, especially related to the DB service stores, where we completed the refurbishment. The big difference, and I think we discussed this already broadly last year already, is that an average store refurbishment in Germany comes roughly at half of the cost of the refurbishment in Switzerland. Now, given the business model that we operate in Germany with the franchise model, where we have a more significant margin opportunity, to put it that way, on a per store basis, and the fact that actually these refurbishments can have a very similar impact as in Switzerland, we are very optimistic. But, as we said, this potential has not at all been realized this year, but we are optimistic that in the years to come we will manage that we will manage that Retail Germany will contribute significantly to the growth of our bottom line.
There, just with your H1 conf call, you said you insourced some of the stores. Is it still the case, or you re-outsourced them to franchises?
No, it is actually the case, but this is a process. I think we discussed that in a first step, in some situation, we insource, so we operate these stores our own during the refurbishment phase. This has also something to do with The fact that we just started this process, we are still in the process of defining the details of the refurbishment. We can do this much more directly and effectively if we control the stores fully. Actually, in Switzerland, this was the process already in 2012, where we opened test stores. We had still some testing going on. I would not refer to Germany as a test phase in 2013 because it was completed on a much broader scale. So ultimately, we have roughly 100 stores that have been fully or partly refurbished in Germany. But having said so, referring to your question, by insourcing some of the stores, we have short-term quite some significant impact on our P&L because we account these stores on a net revenue basis as our own revenues. And obviously, we also have to bear the full costs, including personnel costs, on our own P&L. And this will continue to last, what we anticipate to a lesser extent in the year to come, because we will be more effective and quicker in acquiring new franchise partners and to have a shorter turnaround phase for these store refurbishments.
I'll shed some light on the on your CapEx question. If you look at the presentation of annual results 2012, so 1 year ago, we were quite clear about the our investment program for the coming years, which was 200 million overall, 40 million in retail Switzerland, 40 million in retail Germany, and 50 million for Ditch Brezelkönig, with another 70 million for overhead IT maintenance and also a safety margin. So indeed, and as I mentioned in my part of the presentation, we are fully on track with that program, so there's no deferral. But indeed, if you make the sum, you can expect some higher CapEx this year and next year. However, we have tightened the criteria for capital expenditure, really focusing, like Michael mentioned, on the capital employed and the return. So while it's early to say, we're still committed fully to that figure. But really had linked any expenditure to very tight criteria. Coming to your third question on the net working capital, where you ask whether it's sustainable, while it's early in the year, my answer would be yes, clearly. These are measures where we are sure they are sustainable, but it's by far not the end. I also said that on the trade side, we are, of course, very satisfied with what especially trade has made, but we're very far from the end. There are some, let's say, easy measures which already have been implemented, but we can continue with the contract terms, with also improving our internal processes on various and not only linked to the trade division. So that is a focus for Michael and for myself. I'm already last year, and we only started to implementing that thinking as well in the company. So we are very convinced that we can do still better on that.
What would be your target net working capital ratio, you think, where you can go?
That is not something we're ready to comment at that moment.
So maybe I take your very last question in terms of guidance and how it compares to the 100 million we guided last year. I mean, first of all, the 100 to 105 million for 2016 compares to the 100 million in 50 to an extent that we have now a slightly more moderate expectation towards the contribution of trade. So this explains the slightly lower figure for 2016 compared to the last year's guidance. Secondly, whether it's linear or not, you can expect that a lot of the initiatives in 2014, which is also reflected in the one-off effects that we highlighted on in the adjusted EBIT summary, a lot of these initiatives will have a full impact in 2015 and 2016. Not only cost measures and measures related to the repositioning, but ultimately also the margin improvements. As I mentioned, we are only one-third already into the refurbishment program, for example, in Switzerland. Most of that has been completed in Q4. So as you can imagine, we expect now that we then have in 14 a full year effect from that, plus on top of that, a significant contribution from the refurbishments in which are completed in 14. So you can expect that actually 15 and 16, you will see not a linear, but rather a much more significant contribution in these 2 years compared to 13 to 14.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Mrs. Caroline Price from Fargo Management. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, hello. Okay, I have one question on slide 16 again, where you talked about AVEC, the plus 17.3% was partly related to shift mix and format. Could you give some indication for what the like-for-like, let's say, you know, stores which had already been AVEC stores all year in 2012 compared to 2013, what that might have looked like, just maybe in a range and don't need an exact amount. And consequently also, I mean, then what is the effect? I guess it was K-kiosks that were transferred mainly or sites transferred to AVEC. I don't know if there was Spectaculo as well. But what sort of more of a like-for-like idea for the for that. I'm wondering for your guidance on one-offs. I think it's slide 33. I think it's looking like about 8 to 10 million in one-offs, of which IAS 19 is about 4 million of that. So the remaining 4 to 6 million, I'm wondering how much of that you think is likely to be cash versus non-cash charges. Just talking about gross margins, the gross margin at Ditch declined somewhat. I'm wondering, is that a mix effect, or could you just maybe give a bit more insight on that? Just another question about CapEx. You talked about it being on track with your plan and so forth, but it was actually quite a bit lower than I expected in 2013. Does that have anything at all to do with the fact that it's taken a bit longer to convert or transform the convenience concept at all, or was there another reason why, you know, it's sort of that much lower than the previous year and it's going to be that much higher in 2014-15? I'll stop there. Thanks.
Good. All right. I'll take your first question on the stores. Indeed, as you already guessed, I will not give precise figures on the lower level than what you presented. However, you're right on the positive figure on AVEC and service store Deutsche Bahn. You've got three effects playing into that. One is indeed some changes from car kiosk mainly to Preston Books and AVEC service store, not to Spettacolo. That's the first one. The second one is the full year effect of convenience concept, which was only there for three quarter of a year in 2012. And then there's a like-for-like growth without even giving a range, but I can tell that is a positive figure. So we had genuine organic growth in that format. On the car kiosk assets, there's two effects there. One is the conversion already mentioned into the other formats. Second one is the decline in the press, which overall in that format could not be fully compensated. And I think that's the two main effects we can comment on here. I will maybe take another two questions before handing over to Michael. One is on the gross margin of Ditch. The two comments I would like to make. In the last quarter, if you look at the last quarter 2014 compared to the last quarter of last year, which was the first quarter we consolidated the company, we're very pleased with the development. We see a very nice increase. However, and I mentioned that during the presentation, the result is also slightly affected by the corporate overhead costs that we allocate on all our divisions, which leads to a slightly lower number than what you might have had in mind overall. And that is something I did not mention. We're fully on track with the business plan we had at the moment of the acquisition, both in terms of turnover and in terms of profitability.
Well, could I just, on that one, I was really referring to the gross margin, not the operating margin. Like, you know, so I wouldn't have thought that allocation of corporate costs would have anything to do with that.
Indeed. You're fully right. Nothing to do. Michael, do you take that part?
I mean, referring on the growth, as we said, we are fully on track. I mean, first of all, there is new store openings. This is net of the closures, as I have shown on the page elaborating on Ditch Pretzelkönig retail business. So we had a network optimization going on that was fully anticipated ahead of the acquisition. We completed that, but net on net, we have already a growth realized. And on top of that, we had a very nice like-for-like growth in Ditch Pretzelkönig of roughly 3% across the network, which is definitely above our expectation and above our planning. As I mentioned, you have to bear in mind also the wholesale business part of the business is very important to us. There, the development was also very positive. So overall, as Tobias said, we're fully on track in terms of our business planning and also in line with the previous guidance we have given for that business.
Okay, so in summary then, it's really a mixed effect that higher share of wholesale is what's affected the gross margin. Is that fair?
I think we have even given the numbers on the wholesale growth. It's page number 17.
Yeah.
And as you can see, we have a growth of 5% in wholesale. And overall, we have 7%, which is a combination of the like-for-like and the new store openings in retail.
Okay, so I guess I'm still confused. Like, the gross margin of Ditch, it fell. I don't know how, like, the opening of new stores and closure of other stores, how does that affect it? Is it because I thought this basically, you know, cost of the goods.
Yeah, no, I fully
understand.
Sorry, maybe I was a little confused about the question, but I mean, you have to be careful comparing Q4 figures with full year figures. I think we commented
okay.
that already in the half year, that you have seen that the first half year we have seen lower profitability last year already compared to Q4. This is not so much of a result of the business mix, but more of a operational leverage we have in that business. And also what applies to most retail business, it applies also to Ditch Pretzelkönig, that the half year two is actually the stronger half year, and therefore if you compare Q4 with the full year, you always see slight deterioration, and on top of that there are some accounting impacts, but this is not, I mean, especially if you look at the EBITDA level with the 19.7%, you see actually that we're fully in line with what we guide with the 20%.
Okay, that's clear, thank you.
Coming to the CapEx, your CapEx question where you were asking why 2013 was so low. Again, we had not given a CapEx by year, so also it's not necessarily linear. Michael also mentioned that some of the savings that will come from IT, which also has a CapEx part in it that had no effect last year but will start having effect as of this year. However, there are another two effects here, which I also mentioned previously. One is that indeed the rules have been stricter, so we have restrained CapEx and linked it to very strong return on capital requirements. And the second and the third point, rather, is indeed what you said. We had that slowdown and slight delays in Germany, so that also partially affected the CapEx level last year. However, as mentioned, all three points are still totally in line with our three-year guidance, so we will spend that money and spend it wisely, and that includes, of course, Germany.
So maybe on your last question, if I counted correctly in terms of the guidance, the one-off effects and the 2014, I mean, in the 2014 result, we anticipate, first of all, as you mentioned correctly, IAS 19, which is 4 million negative. So this leaves you with another 4 million order of magnitude one-off effects. Your question was cash, non-cash. It's a combination of both, but to a substantial part, it is related to store optimization of our store network, both in Germany and Switzerland. And related to these store optimization, you have obviously one-off non-cash depreciation items that impact the report and results in 2014. And on top of that, there are some other cash effective items related to mostly trade repositioning of the business.
Okay, thanks. Just to follow up on that, just to confirm, your guidance basically is still including services, that even the 2016 guidance is including services, although you are strategically aiming to give away control, not give away, but whatever, cease controlling it this year.
Yeah, thank you very much for that question, Caroline. I mean, first of all, you're right. We don't give it away. We tend to maximize the value here for all of us and for our shareholders here. Yes, thank you for the question. I was not precise enough. The guidance includes services. We decided that as soon as we have full clarity on the actual service transaction, that we will provide an updated guidance, which then will include only the remaining parts, retail, digital, clinic, and trade.
Okay, thanks so much.
The next question is from Mr. René Weber from Bank Vontobel. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. I have two questions. The first one is on trade. You mentioned you did some streamlining in Germany. That was the reason for having decline of 42%. Switzerland was also down by 9%. And I think it's still going on that you want to increase smaller clients and have less bigger accounts. Does it mean in 2014 we'll see further streamlining in Germany and Switzerland, therefore seeing a lower sales? But do you still expect to see higher margins for that? And the second question would be on services. When I look to your net assets, it's mentioned in the annual report 65 million. Is that still possible to get when you look in terms of your discussion you have with the divestment for this?
Maybe on the first question, in terms of the streamlining of the business, you pointed correctly to Germany and Switzerland. There we had actually termination of significant accounts, therefore the quite sizable impact on the net revenue line. You can expect that, especially in Switzerland, you will see continuous impact on the net revenue, because we anticipate also that we will change part of the business from a fully booked business on our P&L to a more commission-based business. So by doing that, we further transfer our capital or networking capital that is required for operating these businesses to our brand owner partners. We're left with a commission-based margin. Typically, these margins are in percentage figures higher than what we realize if we fully book the revenue. So you will see some shifts there, both a continuous shift both on the revenue line, but also on the margin side. By focusing on smaller accounts, this also typically has an impact on the revenue. I think what you can anticipate further development in that direction, mostly in the Nordics now. We highlighted on page 30 that especially in Sweden, in the classic part of the business, we have still a ROCE that is realized on the overall business, which is below of our capital cost, so on an unsatisfactory level. We are also in the process of terminating there some selective large accounts, and we will continue to work with smaller accounts, smaller capital requirement, and typically higher margins. So I can confirm that you will see more of that development, or we expect to see more of that development also in 2014.
Okay.
Then to your second question regarding services, I think you appreciate that we are not commenting in detail in this current state of the process what we expect in terms of price tag for that business. What I can confirm is that we definitely anticipate that we seize control, and by seizing control, this means close the transaction in 2014, and we're in the middle of intense discussion with still a multiple of potential partners and buyers for the various parts of that business.
Do you expect it to finish it already in the first half, or is it now open for the second half?
I mean, what we said is that we expect to sign a transaction in the first half. I think that's still consistent with what we said in previous communications, and we stick to that. But it's quite clear, depending on when in the first half you sign a transaction, that you rather close it in the second half, and therefore our goal is to fully seize control, meaning closing the transaction in 2014.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the question.
The next question is a follow-up question from Mr. Jean-François Mémandi from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, again, thanks for taking follow-up. I see on your annual report you have capital contribution of 56 million, which, let's say, on an ongoing dividend policy would be a touch more than a year of full dividend. Do you intend to fully utilize this capital contribution as this year for dividend, or to spread it over 2-3 years? There.
I mean, first of all, I struggle now a little bit in terms of where you found the details in the annual reports, but actually...
You see contribution on page... Sorry. On page 124.
124. Thank you very much. So I just want to guide you. I mean, ultimately, I think we're in line with what we said, and now bear with me in terms of the precise figures. But last year, we said very clearly that we will have additional capital contribution from the Deutsche Brezelkönig transactions that we have confirmed in the last year's General Assembly, which is now confirmed by the Swiss Tax Authority, and the amount of that is rather north of 100 million. So we have actually capital contribution of more than 100 million, but these have to be confirmed in the AGM first.
Okay, so I would add 100 million to your 56, and then we'll get to 156, and we are more on 4 years.
No, I think the way it's accounted for is rather you take the 100 million and you deduct what we distribute this year, so you're left with a little more.
Yeah, that's where you are. You're like on your page, you're on a starting point of 99.5, and you did use 42.9.
Yeah, that's why it's written proposed distribution. So that's exactly it. We had end of the year, we had 100 million with a proposed distribution of this year. We deduct 43 million. So we're left with a bit
56
of
and a half
year current indeed. Correct.
And would you prefer to do it fully in 14, well, in the following year, so to be paid in 15?
I think we continued, and I think we said that in earlier years. I mean, whatever capital contribution we have, we distribute it at the maximum level. So you can anticipate that as we have will propose it to the AGM now this year, we have the so we distribute the full dividend as a capital contribution. We will continue to do so in the following year.
Okay, thank you.
We have another follow-up question from Mrs. Caroline Price from Fargo Management. Please go ahead, madam.
Thank you. And just going again to slide 30, the Valora trade where you have this sort of hierarchy of return on capital employed, I just want to make sure I understand it. The traditional lines for Sweden, does that there's nothing right beside it. Does that mean it's roughly around the 8% range, or how should I read that?
No, indeed. If you look, there's a small dashed line. So the classical Sweden is part of the lower than 8%.
Okay. Thanks. And my other question is about your strategy with respect to press and books, and well, the PNB brand in particular. You've obviously put quite a bit of effort into that format, and I'm just wondering how, you know, and yet obviously press is still declining. Can you just explain what you're, you know, how does the decline in sort of press and fit into this PNB concept store, and you know, what do you expect for that format going forward?
I mean, first of all, the print media decline is mainly related to newspapers. And what we sell in PNB is mainly magazines. And magazines are actually, especially at these high-frequency locations, and that's important to understand, the PNB are exclusively or almost exclusively located at high-frequency locations. That in these stores we focus very much on a broad and deep offering of magazines, and there at these locations magazines are actually still a very stable business. So the print media decline is mainly in daily newspapers. This affects rather the kiosks than the PNB, and the books is actually obviously on an overall basis also declining, but you also have to bear in mind here that Europe in general is affected far less from a decline in actual printed books than what you see in North America. In Europe, you also experience significant declines in books in general, but what we sell is not, or you cannot compare us to a bookstore, but we rather sell only the best sellers at these PNB locations. And these best sellers are actually a business that performs quite well for us currently, because if your iPad is out of battery and you have to get on a long flight, you typically buy a book at our store, and that's exactly what we offer to our clients.
Mm-hmm. So on the slide 24 where you show the gross profit, I mean, if we took away the newspapers and, let's say we take out the newspapers and the sort of the print media that's more sold in the kiosk, the P&B format, I mean, would that gross profit margin arrow still be red, or that would rather be going up or flat?
It's rather flattish.
Okay, thanks. And then my last question, it's about the services. What if any impact do you think there would be on the corporate line? Because I guess you allocate some of corporate costs to services currently. I'm just wondering, as well, then there was a $5 million so-called like EBIT loss in other, which I'm assuming is the corporate related item, compared to about zero last year. So can you just take that question, like what was the real reason behind that, and how might that other line be affected by a disposal of the majority of services?
I'm not sure whether I understood the question perfectly. So do you repeat it?
Okay, so the first part is really when and if, hopefully, you cease the control of services,
yes.
How might that impact your other or corporate costs? Because I'm assuming that allocate some of the costs currently. And then kind of linked to that, in 2013, there was an EBIT loss of $5.3 million other, not allocated to the segments. Versus $0 million the year before. Could you explain what that was?
Sure. I refer now to the first question. I'm still not sure whether I got the second question, but we come to that. I mean, first part of the question, I mean, corporate will be affected, not directly in a sense that on the corporate level, what you find there is on the existing reporting, almost exclusively the actual holding activity or the costs of these holding activities. In starting 2012, we started to allocate all the costs that were initially reported on the corporate to the individual division. So if you remember, in 2011, for example, we had quite substantial logistics costs related or accounted for in corporate. These are now fully allocated to retail. So what you and the service division, obviously. So what you can expect, that there is no direct impact on the actual corporate costs. Obviously, I mean, we expect by a certain simplification of the group that will over time also the impact directly the central costs that we have accounted for in corporate. Now to your second question, are you referring to page 71, I think?
Well, page 70 for segment data by division, there's an other EBIT loss of $5.3 million. And the year before that, it was zero, I think, so.
Do you want to comment on that, or?
I'm not sure about the...
Yeah, I think the 11 million, sorry, I'm confused. I think the 11 million are the, some of the book gains we had on some of the divestitures. Sorry, I was confused now. But obviously in 2012, you remember that we have the multiple number of transactions related to real estate that we sold off, that Austrian business, the Austrian service business that we sold, and the headquarter in Muttenz. The headquarter was accounted in the division. That's why the actual EBIT, for example, and you see the asterisk on Valora Retail 2012, the 19 million EBIT, this was affected by the loss, the book loss that we have completed on the headquarter in Muttenz. But actually, all the other transactions have been have been booked against the corporate line. That's why you see there a positive figure.
Okay, I see. Thank you.
And so you can assume 2013 is a far cleaner number now for the corporate cost.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no more questions at this time.
So thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for attending this conference call. We appreciate your interest and hope to see and talk to you soon somewhere that year. Thank you very much and have a good afternoon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.